Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, August 6, 2018. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And Brian Chaffin, how's it going for you?
It goes. Yeah, sure. Let's go with that. And it's good to be here.
All right. Let's go with that. And yeah, it's great to have you here too.
Thanks.
And yeah. I think we should just jump right into the first thing we want to talk about, because it may also turn into the only thing we talk about, depending on how much talking we do. So here's the deal. We know Apple has hit their $1 trillion market cap, and they've gone high enough with their stock price that they've done what Brian said last week they had to do, which is get higher than the 207.05.
Yeah.
Because they had been buying back more stock since their 10Q filing. So they've really hit a $1 trillion market cap. So
they retreated from that on Friday, I think.
Yes, right? but they also went like markedly higher and then came back down some. I don't know where they're sitting right now.
Okay, this typing means that I'm checking
that you're doing E-Trade. The research that we could have done before starting.
We could have done, but you know, sometimes we bring a little ACM to TDO.
Yeah, it's you know, it all just kind of blends together. So
707. No, sorry. Figure completely wrong. Figure pulling up the other web page. Really slow, of course. And it is 208.64.
All right. So it's gone back up some.
Yep.
Well, congratulations, Brian, for the painfully minuscule amount of Apple stock you actually own.
Yes. I now have tens of pennies more.
That's right. So so that Frappuccino is going to cost you just a little bit less. You don't do Frappuccinos.
Not usually. I like them though.
Yeah. This is my problem. Not being a coffee drinker, I can't remember the names of your drinks. But
an iced latte, not chalk. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, you know, don't diss the chalk.
Get to the meat.
TechCrunch wrote a piece where they listed five reasons or five things that they say contributed to Apple hitting a $1 trillion market cap. So we're going to go down the list and we're going
to give us the title of the piece.
The title of the piece is The Greedy Ways Apple Got to $1 Trillion.
Oh, please.
I want to preface this conversation with the three of us here are not Apple apologists. We frequently criticize Apple when we feel the need.
Yep.
And no one in this particular podcast believes that Apple needs to be defended, right? You know, they earn praise, they earn criticism, they earn, you know, I mean, so like all the things we're about to say are not about us trying to defend Apple. It's more just trying to deal with the nonsense and this, because I've seen this meme. TechCrunch sort of picked up on this meme that was started here going on Facebook, on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, there's a bunch of people who like want to talk about these supposedly greedy. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, okay.
One of my readers said over the weekend that Apple is making so much money that they should reduce their prices. I love that logic. So Apple has $243 billion in the bank, so they should start selling us MacBook Pros for what? $500? That'd be cool.
That would be cool, but I don't think that makes good business sense.
His mathematics is ineluctable, right?
Well, let's talk about that particular angle after we talk about
this whole list.
Yeah.
Okay. And Brian, you are very optimistic, because I know how we are. It's possible we're going to get to the end of the list and be out of time.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. But the great thing is it's my show, and if I want to carry the conversation over to tomorrow, I can totally do that. Sometimes it's good to be the king. Let's start with the first thing on their on the TechCrunch list, frayed charging cables. And what they're talking about is the fact that lightning cables and MacBook charger cables tend to split apart and fray where the connectors are.
Some of them.
A lot of them.
A lot of them. I'm going to go with a lot of them.
I've never had a frayed cable.
You have no idea how much money I have spent on cables and how many chargers Apple has replaced for free. Not just for me, but for other people in my life and like family and then also friends.
Let's be clear. In any production process, there's going to be some percentage of the products just because of the way things are made that are going to be less than perfect, and some are going to be more than perfect. I mean, we've all come across lemon cars and come across exceptional cars. So you can't hit 100% on this.
Okay, this isn't about 100%. Apple's cables fray, and they have to be replaced all the time.
Not my experience.
The idea is whether – well, okay, not in your experience, but you're you're totally the exception here. That's not even the
– you're the exception in this one, John.
But that's not the issue. The issue to me is whether or not that helped Apple get to $1 trillion and whether or not they're being greedy. And I call absolute balderdash on both.
It helps if you consider $144.13 to be contributing to the trillion. Yeah.
And for the chargers that Apple's replaced for me, which what are those average? Is it like $90 or $120? I can't remember now because I've bought spares.
Sure.
Apple has replaced multiple chargers for me at no cost. Like I go in with my computer and the charger, and they look at it and they're like, "Yeah, sorry about that. Here's a new one." And they just take a box off the shelf and send me out the door with it.
So yeah, the big thing here, though, is that Apple isn't like, I don't care how many cables Apple sells. It's not contributing meaningfully to the bottom line.
All right. So here's where I could see Apple being a little greedy with cables, but I don't think it's enough to make them a $1 trillion company. When they went to USB-C for charging, you pay the same amount for the charger brick that you used to pay for the charger with a cable. Now you have to pay for the brick and you have to buy the USB-C cord separately. So you're paying more money for a charger now than you used to.
Yeah, but if Apple was really trying to gouge us, they wouldn't give you those free ones off the shelf when the first one fails so easily out of warranty. Every company makes a mathematical assessment of what their warranty costs are going to be.
So it sounds to me like we're in agreement. Frayed charging cables is not something that pushed Apple to $1 trillion company.
No, you want to dig deeper and look at the philosophy behind that, right? If the philosophy behind making these cables not as good as they could be. For instance, I've got cables in my life, lightning cables in particular, that have lasted for years, because they're they're jacketed and reinforced and like I think my favorite one has a spring on the end of where the movement is where the friction happens. I love that cable, and if Apple were one can complain about Apple's philosophy, but if Apple was selling only or making only high-end lightning cables, for instance, that cost what everybody else is selling these high-end lightning cables for, everyone would be complaining because Apple's cables are too expensive.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that those would probably actually contribute more to the bottom line because they'd be able to charge more for them. We absolutely can complain about our chargers breaking. I don't think you should complain about the lightning cables breaking. Just get a better lightning cable. Right. But I think we can complain about our chargers breaking, but that's still not the thing that has contributed meaningfully in any way, shape, manner, or form to Apple making $1 trillion. If anything, the reputation for these chargers has probably actually lost them some sales. So it's not logical. It's not a logical complaint.
All right. So I'm going to move us on to the next thing on the list. And I'm already predicting we're not even going to make it to number five. Just a hunch. All right. Number two on the list, buried iTunes subscription cancellations, meaning if you subscribe for something in iTunes, it's very oblique where you go to unsubscribe to the thing. And I will agree, it is surprisingly difficult to sort out where you need to go to unsubscribe to something that you've subscribed to in iTunes. But I don't know if Apple getting 30% of a subscription that's renewing, even if you don't realize it's renewing.
Well, this is the Apple Music subscription. They're getting 100% of it. We're getting 70% of it.
Apple Music subscriptions? No, they get 30%, and the developer or the other company gets 70%.
So, right. Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right. My mistake. Can you
just take totally edited?
Then
no one will ever hear it.
Excellent.
All right. So, granted, services and subscriptions is making up a larger portion of Apple's bottom line than it used to. So is this enough to qualify as significantly contributing to Apple's $1 trillion market cap?
No, the number of people who are wanting to leave Apple Music is probably incredibly small, and this is just stupid. Yeah. Not many people start and stop a Spotify. Excuse me. Not many people who have started a Spotify subscription stop it. Not many people who have started an Apple Music subscription stop it. And if they want to stop it, they're gonna Google it and they're gonna figure it out and they're gonna stop it. Should Apple make it more apparent? I don't know. Maybe. I really don't care personally.
I think Apple should make it more apparent because it's one of those things where, I mean, seriously, you have to go and look at your Apple ID stuff. It's difficult to figure out where you need to go without doing a Google search.
Right. Anyone who's intent on quitting is going to do that Google search. I'm not saying that gets Apple off the hook. I'm just saying that this is not somehow magically added to their to their $1 trillion valuation because it has stopped no one who wants to end the subscription from doing so. It's only made them more annoyed while they're doing it.
And it's also kind of a personal preference about how you think the UI should be designed as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sleep should be above restart or sleep should be obviously, you know, someplace else next, not next to restart. So strikes me as kind of like one guy's opinion about where something ought to be in the user interface. And the fact that Apple doesn't push it in your face is no big deal.
So what I'm hearing is that we're in agreement again.
Yes.
Apple should look at how they're doing the interface for this, but they haven't done something that has significantly contributed to.
No, I would love to hear from our listeners if there's someone who like wanted to, and I realize that this is probably a biased data set people listening to us, but I'd love to hear if there is someone who wanted to quit Apple Music, couldn't figure out how to do it, and then gave up and didn't.
Yeah. Is there anyone out there? Or do you know anyone who has expressed something along the lines of, I'm trapped in an Apple Music subscription because there's no way for me to unsubscribe? So
it's probably never happened in the history of Earth.
We'll find out because we have a good listener base. So let me know. You can do it on Twitter at TMO Daily. You can send emails to observations@macobserver.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I'll look all those places to see what you have to say. Okay, let's move on to number three on the list. And this is what TechCrunch is calling the keyboard claptrap. They're referring specifically to the butterfly mechanism key switch in the MacBook line. Apple switched from the scissor type mechanism to the butterfly mechanism, and Then we started seeing keyboards that were just failing all the time. And my keyboard in my 2016 Touch Bar MacBook Pro failed. Apple replaced it. And I have keys on the replacement that have failed, and I need to schedule time to get the keyboard replaced.
Again. Yeah, so here's the executive meeting. We are going to make the keyboard crappy. Then we'll make all the money. It's ridiculous.
You're a tough one, Mr. Brian.
Now,
yeah, there's an accusation here. There's a very blunt accusation here. Apple intentionally designed a product poorly in order to make more money.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Now, is the keyboard thing a problem? Yes, it is. Apple's obsession with thinness that we've talked about many times has unintended consequences that are annoying as crap. I'm in no way supporting this keyboard problem that Apple's been dealing with. But if anything, that keyboard problem has cost them money.
Right.
It's cost them money in repairs. It's cost them money in complaints, and they've probably lost sales because of it. That this is part of how they got a $1 trillion valuation is idiotic.
Yes. When you replace the keyboard on a Touch Bar MacBook Pro, you're replacing the entire uppercase. So it's more expensive than just putting a new keyboard in. So this is not a cheap process. This is, I think, a poorly designed mechanism, but it is not a ploy to drive up Apple's profits.
This happens in other industries as well. I mean, we can think of lots of examples in the car industry where a car company designs a new fuel injection mechanism and they test it and they take it on the track. And then only after a year in the field did they discover that when the temperature drops below 40 below, the engine won't start. So they need to fix something.
And sometimes they step up and do it, and sometimes they have to be pushed into doing it. Yeah. And so part of the complaint here is that it took lawsuits for Apple to eventually offer free fixes. And that's true. And maybe Apple should have stepped up sooner. But again, this didn't help them get to $1 trillion. It's nonsense.
And I know I am a single data point, so this pretty much makes it anecdotal. When I took my MacBook Pro in for its first keyboard replacement, this was before there were lawsuits, and Apple replaced it for free.
Under AppleCare? Under warranty?
Yes, totally under warranty, because it was within the first year. I do have AppleCare Plus, so regardless, I was going to end up getting a free keyboard replacement for the one that still has to happen.
Well, you know, the thing that was always on my mind was what Apple's estimate was of the frequency. So if 0.013% of the people are having a problem, they're making a big fuss about it, is this a real engineering issue? If it rises to 0.05%, then you say, well, you know, this is still kind of like infrequent. Let's look into it. Maybe it's cookie crumbs or bad handling or debris or something like that. But as the process goes along and Apple investigates more and more, they may have found, well, yeah, after all, there is a design defect, but it takes a while to back into that, and it takes a while to look at the numbers. So, you know, instant backseat and instant, you know, 2020 hindsight, we say they should have jumped on this right away. I don't think that's the way it always works. I think there's a long period of diagnosis.
And you,
I'm not going to give Apple that much of a pass, John. I mean, this is a consequence of the company's obsession for thinness in a pro device where they didn't need the thinness. When no one was saying, I would buy a new MacBook Pro, but they're just too thick. No one was saying that.
Contributing factor, but you can't prove that that was the proximate cause.
Sure, I can. Mm-mm. I just said it, so it's pretty much proof.
You can conceive of, well, they've come up with an engineering design that still is a thin one, but it's better engineered. So they just didn't engineer the way they should have in the first place because unforeseen. Yeah,
we don't have enough time to tell if it's going to fail like the previous keyboards. So we are pretty much out of time. But I want to hit.
Really?
Yeah. I want to hit one more of these. We're actually really out of time. We're going to go over. So we have two left. Killing affiliate fees that blogs rely on and dongle hell.
Really? You're going to try to squeeze that one in?
Well, pick one.
Well, the affiliate fees are the one that I'm going to personally give the most pushback against. Against Apple on.
Okay.
Well, let's go with that one.
Then let's go with that one.
Okay. It is a shockingly short-sighted and possibly even actually greedy thing for Apple to do this. And it's a slap in the face for publishers who have been there for Apple for years, helping to fill in a massive hole in discovery. But you know, Apple don't care. Apple don't care what you did yesterday for them. They only care about what you're going to do for them tomorrow. And I get that. But again, this is not contributing to them their trillion-dollar valuation. When this happens, by the way, this doesn't even happen until October, so it clearly had nothing to do with Apple's trillion-dollar valuation.
Well, that's right. They haven't even stopped this yet.
Right. So, I mean, that makes this argument ridiculous. But it is probably going to add a tiny few millions, not even a tenth of a million to Apple's bottom line. It's going to save them a few million dollars, which is part of why I'm so pissy about why they're doing this. It's not saving enough money for them to matter. So why would they do this? But it doesn't have anything to do with dollars. I hate illogic. I don't like illogic.
My take on this is that it's a move Apple didn't need to make, and I'm inclined to think that this is more of a greed move, let's increase the bottom line a little bit more kind of move, as opposed to...
I think it's more of a control move, to be honest. Okay. There's no one that works in Apple's executive team who thinks this money's going to matter. This is a rounding error for Apple. Yeah. Right. And so they didn't do it for greed. They did it for control. They want to shut down the publications that are driving app choice because they want to have that control.
All right. I can see that. And regardless, the timing doesn't fit for Apple hitting a $1 trillion market cap because Apple has already hit a $1 trillion market.
Yeah, and even if this had happened 2 years ago, which it didn't happen 2 years ago, it would have added nothing. I mean, if anything, having that program is what contributed to Apple's $1 trillion valuation in the first place, because that program helped drive discovery, which made using iOS devices all that easier, all that much easier, right? So having the program contributed to their $1 trillion valuation, killing it is possibly going to decrease discovery.
I agree. So I think it's going to decrease discovery.
The entire point that TechCrunch's John Constein is making is logically wrong and flawed.
All right. So since we're over time, I'm going to wrap us up. And
my vote's with Brian and Jeff.
Okay. So, wow, we went through a whole show where we pretty much agreed across the board. Someone circle the date on the calendar. Here's my big takeaway from the piece. Every complaint that's posted in the list is a legitimate complaint. Cables suck. The interface for getting rid of your Apple Music account sucks.
Yeah.
Just down the line, every one of these is a legitimate complaint. Putting them together in this way, I don't think is valid though, because,
and they're not greedy. The cables, that's not an issue of greed. The iTunes subscription is not an issue of greed. The keyboard is not greed. killing the affiliate program. That's the best argument for greed, but it's, again, I do think it's more of an argument for control.
And once you said that, it felt like a totally legit reason from Apple's perspective to do this.
If the title had been Five Ways Apple Could Do Better With Its Products, it would have gotten one hit instead of whatever it got.
Yeah, the title I think would have been a lot better, or a lot more accurate. yeah. All right. So,
five product decisions that a $1 trillion company should have made differently.
I like that.
Oh, I like it too.
I like that. All right. So we're wrapping up, and I think we're still in agreement. This is a great legitimate list of complaints about things that Apple has done with products, but it's not a great article about Apple being greedy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you, John, for being here today.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. And Brian, I'm so glad you were here too.
Thank you. It was very nice to be here. I appreciate it.
Yep. And it was a really fun discussion. So I'm so glad both of you had time to be here and join me. Listeners, thank you for being here. I'm really glad you're here every single day. Every one of you rocks. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.